It is a rare night off for Jim Bohannon, and congratulations to the big guy who is a major award recipient. He's being honored tonight at a black tie event here in Washington, receiving the Special Recognition First Amendment Award from the Radio TV Digital News Directors Association Foundation. So congratulations, Jimbo, and thank you for letting me sit in the big chair tonight. I am Jim's pal, Holland Cook. This half hour, we're joined by Dave Crenshaw, who is all about helping business owners harness chaos and harvest personal freedom. You may have read about Dave in Time or Forbes. His first book, The Myth of Multitasking, How Doing It All Gets Nothing Done, has been published in 6 languages. Dave, welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Holland.
All right, which 6 languages?
Oh, gee, don't put me on the spot. Korean, Dutch, Italian, Russian, a few others.
I think that that speaks volumes on its own. I am told that the Japanese envy how Americans are workaholics, and who is just doing one thing at a time? Aren't we all multitasking these days, huh?
Well, we're all attempting to do it, and we're all failing miserably at it.
Dave's company is Invaluable Inc., and his website, just like it sounds, is his name, Dave Crenshaw, CRENSHAW.com. And I really wanted to focus on Dave's latest book, which is called Invaluable, The Secret to Becoming Irreplaceable. And specifically, in these still shaky economic times, Dave, for people who have a job, how do you keep the job by seeming invaluable?
That's interesting, Holland. I surveyed over 1,000 business owners and asked them that very question. What defines an employee who is invaluable? And there were a few common threads, but if I just pick one out of the air, the most common thread is that they are people who know how to do mission-critical processes within the business better than anyone else. They know them inside and out, and so the business owner is dependent upon that person to perform well.
You know, I was just talking to a pal of mine the other day who said he spent half a morning trying to convert an Excel document into a pie chart, and he went to somebody on another floor of the building, and she did it in 30 seconds. That's the kind of thing you're talking about?
It's a big part of it. You may perform 10 or 12 different activities in your work week, but there are only 2 of them that are your MVAs, or your most valuable activities. And the people who are most valuable in the workplace are the people who spend the majority of their time in those 2 MVAs. The problem is the majority of people are spending the majority of their time in their LVAs, in their least valuable activities. And that makes you, by nature, replaceable.
A lot of tough decisions are being made with budgets so tight. How do you make sure the boss knows you're doing the right things and not wasting time on the wrong things?
The first thing, and I've seen this really common right now, is people have the tendency to try and put their head down and not want to be noticed. They're afraid that if they put their neck out on the chopping block, they're going to get chopped off. The reality is what you should be doing right now is extending yourself and stretching yourself. So the first thing that I would do is try to identify what those 2 most valuable activities are, and then come up with an action plan, really an educational plan for yourself to enhance your ability to perform in those 2 things. Basically, put yourself back through college. I'm not saying enroll in college. I'm saying create your own course of study to enhance your ability.
So this is the wrong time to be inconspicuous, huh?
This is the perfectly wrong time. You should be stretching. In fact, here's one question that everyone can ask their boss that will instantly differentiate them from everyone else. And the question is, what's one thing I can do to make your job easier for you?
Wow.
Most people are afraid to ask that question because they feel that it exposes them. They think, oh, that's going to make my boss think about the things I'm not doing that I should be doing. That's not how it works. If you come to someone and ask that question, instantly you're recognized as someone who's helpful and outgoing and trying to help them succeed.
Now, that might seem to some like kissing up, like showboating, like patronizing, but you're saying that question would be music to the ears of your boss.
This is a timeless principle. This goes all the way back to Dale Carnegie and How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is not about kissing up. This is about creating a connection. What I have found is that the people who are most valuable in the workplace usually do it in tandem with someone else. In fact, in the story in Invaluable, it takes one employee and the manager and how they work together to reinforce each other. So what you really want to do is go to your boss and say, what are your most valuable activities? Because guess what? Your most valuable activities as the employee is to keep your boss or manager in their most valuable activities. So if you have that discussion, it creates a bond that instantly makes you irreplaceable.
How's this for a warning sign? A friend of mine's company was just sold, and routinely all the employees were assigned to write a 3-bullet-point job description. She says, I need 3 bullet points. I said, make sure you use the word revenue in at least 2 of them. Are there some magic words that are smart to bring into the conversation?
That's a great question. And I wouldn't use the phrase mission critical because it's a little bit cliche.
It's a little clinical, yeah.
Yeah, but you want to identify things that are mission critical. I like how you were joking, but it's a great principle. It's about revenue. In the end, a business exists to make a profit, and your job is to demonstrate how your existence within that business reinforces them making a profit. Your job is also to help the customers. So if you can show that you're reinforcing profit, that you're helping the customers, and you're helping your coworkers, I would say those 3 things are the most important.
Experts tell us that the recession technically ended in 2009. We've been in recovery ever since. It's agonizingly gradual. Tough decisions are being made. You've just given us some good advice for people who have a job and want to keep a job. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to ask Dave something that job seekers probably want to know. You're in a cattle call. They're interviewing umpteen people lined up out the door and around the block. How do you seem more valuable than all the others they're interviewing? That's when we come back. This is the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook. It's the Jim Bohannon Show, minus Jimbo, who's being honored at a swank affair in Washington tonight. They're receiving a prestigious award from the Radio TV Digital News Association. And I am Robin to Jim's Batman, Jim's pal, Holland Cook, your affable guest host tonight. Our guest this half hour is Dave Crenshaw from Invaluable Inc., www.davecrenshaw.com. And Dave is all about making yourself invaluable, making yourself irreplaceable. And just before the break, he was talking about how to make sure the boss thinks you're a good guy to have around. What if you don't have a boss and you are a job applicant and you know darn well it's a cattle call? Dave, how do you stand out from the crowd and seem like the one they want to hire?
Well, there are certain, I call them invaluable factors. There are certain things that determine your marketplace value, and I want to focus on 2 that are really relevant to job applicants. The first is authority. You need to establish yourself as a market leader in the area that you're applying for a job. Now, how do you do that? Well, you start by putting up a blog or creating a series of articles. You can even do a podcast, something where you're creating a series of really like a doctorate. Many people go to college and they think, oh, I've got my degree, that's all the qualification I need. In today's world, that's not enough. You need to keep going back to school, so write your own thesis statement. And if you can point your potential employer to that, even better, if you can say, hey, I was interviewed by Holland on the prestigious Jim Bohannon Show. Wow, you've got an incredible market advantage. And I'm showing the extremes, the example. There are lots of things you can do between those two.
So you're saying publish or perish if you want to stand out.
Exactly. You need to show that you are an author, an expert, a subject matter guru on the subject that you're applying for. If you can do that, you'll immediately differentiate yourself among all the competitors.
Now, there's a flip side to that, too, because I think it's only prudent in this day and age for any job applicant to presume that you will be Googled, right?
Exactly. I tell people that anyone can start writing a book, and you do it by just writing an article at a time. And I say writing with quotation marks. You can record audio. You can make little videos and put it up on YouTube. There are lots of ways to do it. It's just that you need to decide what is that subject, who is my target market, and then spend a little bit of time, maybe once a week, putting these little articles together.
Create something that seems like you're a thoughtful person, like you're aware of the industry concerns, etc. And the flip side is about that photo album on your Facebook page from your vacation in Jamaica where you're guzzling from the large promotional-sized jug-handle bottle of Popov vodka. Is it time before the interview to purge anything out there that might not Google well, huh?
There's definitely that side to it, and that leads into the second factor that I was going to talk about, which is connection. And there's the old saying that, you know, it's not what you know, but who you know. I would say it's not even who you know, but who knows who you know. If you are not actively involved on LinkedIn in particular, you're missing out on an incredible opportunity to build job security. LinkedIn is the Facebook for professionals, and you want to actively be adding connections, real connections, not just adding anybody, but people that you really know, writing recommendations for them, asking them for recommendations, because the people who make the most per hour and are most valuable are the ones who are the most connected.
LinkedIn is for real.
Absolutely. And personally, I think it's fun to have a little bit of personal stuff on Facebook and to show that you're human. It's good to mix both the personal and the professional, because in today's world, boy, we are so far past the Brooks Brothers suits and trying to put up appearances, aren't we? We're to the point where we want to work with real human beings who have real lives.
Yeah, for years I was a corporate suit, and I have hired a lot of people, and I think it looks great to see on someone's resume that they were, for instance, an Eagle Scout. To see on someone's resume that they played a team sport. That says something good about their experience collaborating. I appreciate seeing on someone's resume that he or she in their salad days might have been a waiter or waitress or a bartender, because that says that they're very good at juggling. They can manage multiple priorities. They can deal with intense personalities, sometimes in conflict, and that makes them a great hire for our three-ring circus. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say as well, when you're out meeting people, give first. Have the mindset of giving first. And what that means to me is that when I get to know you, Holland, let's say at a networking event, I want to find out what your hobbies are. I want to find out what you love, what your family life is like, and make a connection on a personal level. Most people put up a professional wall, and if you don't get past that wall, you're not going to make a real connection. But if I can find out something that you're passionate about, and I can do something nice for you related to that passion, I've made a connection with you that's so much stronger than me trying to get you be impressed about me by telling you my credentials.
Makes a lot of sense. This may sound profound to the job seeker, but it's fairly logical. We're talking to Dave Crenshaw of Invaluable Inc. He is the author of two books you might find really interesting, The Myth of Multitasking, How Doing It All Gets Nothing Done, and his latest book, Invaluable, The Secret to Becoming Irreplaceable. Dave and I will be back right after this on The Jim Bohannon Show. It's The Jim Bohannon Show for the Ides of March. Jim has the night off. I'm Holland Cook. We're speaking with Dave Crenshaw from Invaluable Inc., DaveCrenshaw.com, a thoughtful guy who is the author of a book called Invaluable, The Secret to Becoming Irreplaceable. And Dave, this might seem, under the present economic circumstances, to be the least likely time to get one, but how do you ask for a raise under these circumstances?
There's a quote from the Bible that I have in Invaluable, and the book is not a biblical book, but one of the characters quotes where it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I think that's an important principle when it comes to working. It is not enough to go off and ask for a raise if you're not doing the things that are expected of you. Yet you would be surprised how often I see that happen. I see employees going to their employers asking for a raise, and they're not doing the basic requirements of their job. So first of all, make sure that you're doing those basics and that you're being consistent in it. And then the second thing is, I would come at it from a standpoint of how are you helping the profitability of the business? Is your work directly resulting in an increase in profits for the business? If you can demonstrate that, then it's going to be easier to get that raise. But if you're just coming and saying, well, I've been here X number of years or X number of months, they don't care. It sounds really heartless, but they don't care. What they care about is what have you done for me lately, and you need to demonstrate.
As measurable and specific as possible, right?
Absolutely.
The
absolutely.
Anniversary raise is toast, correct?
Yeah, there is no tenure is gone. I mean, even jobs that we used to consider as high security, such as government jobs, even those, you have a danger of losing your position. So every year you need to reinvent yourself and do more than you've done in the past. And like I've said, give yourself an education. Continually put yourself back through your own college.
I had an employee come in once when I was a manager and ask for a raise because he was expecting a baby. I said, hey, it's not my fault.
Yeah, we hope not, right?
You're a speaker, you're an author, you are a consultant, you work with companies around the country. Your work, your observation, your surmise is a bit of a barometer. Do you see green shoots? Is the economy on the mend?
You know, I love working with entrepreneurs because where there's an entrepreneur, there's an opportunity. And there's always a need. All you need to do is find what the need is and fill that need. So I always see that there are industries that are thriving. I work with high-growth businesses, businesses that are doing 50% or more a year. So there's plenty to go around. All we need to do is make ourselves be ready and be in a position to help.
There's some really cool stuff on Dave's website, which is davecrenshaw.com, C-R-E-N-S-H-A-W. Dave, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much, Holland. It was a pleasure.
You bet. This is the Jim Bohannon Show on the Dial Global Radio Networks.